Now, this is the part of the show where you probably expect me to deliver an inspiring speech about how climate change is the defining issue of our time, about how we need to use less fossil fuel and more renewable energy, and how entire ecosystems are dying, and how rising ocean levels are going to present enormous challenges for humankind. We've spent decades warning you climate change is a problem. People like me appear on TV every day to talk about this issue. We have visited businesses.
You never shut up about it!
Who said that?
I did, Bill.
How can we get you to shut up about it?
That's Zach Braff.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
I hope so. I'm wearing his underwear.
That's good to know, and that is a great question, because I would love to shut up about climate change. Nobody likes talking about this topic.
Well, is there anything I can do, like perhaps come up on stage next to you and help you shut up about
it? Yes! It's depressing! It's scary! This is great, Zach. This is great, because I'm tired of telling people that our cities are in danger.
And I hate hearing about how much worse storms are gonna get.
Yeah, and you really think I want to talk about coral reefs dying? I hate it. I want to talk about baseball or movies or New York Times best-selling books that I wrote.
You know, I use the audiobook to fall asleep every night.
That's so thoughtful. You shut up.
I want to, Bill.
That's the spirit. I'll shut up about climate change once we all go to renewable energy sources.
And I'll shut up about climate change when we stop electing anti-science politicians.
Drop the beat.
'Cause my sex junk is so much more than either power bottom or a top off. Versatile love may have some butt stuff. It's evolution, ain't nothing new. There's nothing taboo about a sex stew. Just add salt or Gerard Depardieu. French treasure.
Hi, everybody. If you don't mind, I'd like to start the show today by talking about something that I saw on YouTube recently that upset me a little bit. Maybe like 2 months ago, Neil deGrasse Tyson was on the Joe Rogan Show. And I was really surprised. Something kind of struck a nerve with me. And that rarely happens. You know, I understand the format of that show. It's something I try to emulate here. You bring on people you don't always agree with. You have an open and free-flowing discussion. I like to do that as much as possible. Sometimes the things skew into flat earth or cultural appropriation. But hey, you roll with it. That's real life. So it'd be weird that I would have that kind of elevated response where I almost didn't feel like I could listen to what was being said anymore. I mean, there's people on that show and other shows that I disagree with deeply all the time. And usually that's a kind of challenge to which I'm very receptive. I like encountering those situations. But there was something that I took kind of personally in the Neil deGrasse Tyson episode. But they start talking about, you know, the schools basically producing uncritical thinkers. And that's the problem that they're addressing. And there's a suggestion or some kind of a prompt that Neil deGrasse Tyson should do something about this problem. Now, Neil deGrasse Tyson, was fully aware that there's problems with the schools. And he suggested in this discussion, if I'm remembering correctly, that it was something that he was very concerned about. Now, when you identify a significant problem in society and it's something that you want to fix and it's something that, you know, maybe even to a certain extent keeps you up at night, hey, you've probably looked into the problem and maybe also what people have proposed or what other people are developing as potential solutions. Maybe you've at least peeked at that. So the response to Joe Rogan that I imagine a thoughtful person would give, and I understand, you know, it's live. There's probably tens of thousands of people watching it right then. I'm not the best at, you know, thinking quickly on my feet and performing under pressure in a situation like that. But gosh, if I was as smart as Neil deGrasse Tyson, I probably would have said something like, yeah, you know, this is a problem, Joe, And I've spent a lot of time looking into the problem and looking at what people are trying as far as solutions. And this is actually a really, really exciting time for education. There's lots of academics who are going out on their own. There's this booming industry of online courses. And, you know, we're seeing alternative education, things like homeschooling, reach new levels of popularity because people recognize the schools are failing. Higher education is under fire, as it should be. This would be the unpacking that you would look for a critical thinker to do in that situation when prompted to talk about the problems in schooling and education. Now, they do have a brief conversation about this, and they both make some good observations, right? Joe talks about, you know, the effort to control people's opinions, and Neil suggests that people need to learn a little bit more about cognitive bias and how it affects them. But it's happening inside this container, as Neil puts it. There should be a course in public school about these ways of thinking, which evidences to me that he hasn't done, the requisite background research on the public schools. And what really, really bothered me, and I'm not, and it's not, the fault of Joe Rogan or the fault of Neil deGrasse Tyson. Maybe it's just my personal investment in this topic. What really rubbed me the wrong way. Part of Neil's statement is, that's something that I'll get around to eventually. Within the next couple of years, I'll be working on that. Well, fuck you, dude. You know, people are already working on that, and they're not waiting for you. And considering just about everything you say outside the realm of astrophysics, the people who care about that issue aren't sitting there patiently waiting for you to come and save the day. Now, if Neil deGrasse Tyson was listening to this, what I just said, that might be hard for him to believe. And if there is some YouTube playlist of Neil deGrasse Tyson having spirited debates with people who disagree with him politically, please point it out to me. But I haven't found it. I see him as another example of one of these people who is perfectly content to live in a kind of echo chamber on Twitter and speaking engagements where just about everybody who wants to interact with him, not everybody, but just about everybody, is doing it so they can eat out of his hand, whatever happens to be in his hand. Same problem we've discussed before with people like Dawkins and Harris. And when you surround yourself with those kinds of sycophants, one of the unfortunate consequences of that is that when somebody asks you about the state of education in America, something that's pretty broad and a problem that's pretty multifaceted and has the momentum of a significant history of control and scientific management and political corruption, the unfortunate outcome is when asked about all that, you don't say, well, it's very complicated, and I think that if I wanted to participate in that, I could insert myself this way. You don't approach it, even though it's an area completely outside of your expertise, you don't approach it with any humility. You say instead, I'll be getting around to that eventually. Now, being in a protective bubble suggests that there isn't any criticism of these guys, but there is. And I remember Tyson talking about criticism, like mainly through Twitter. Now, these guys, they love those critics, which seems to contradict being in a protective bubble. But see, every time one of those critics shows up to say, here's a place where I don't think you know what you're talking about, here's a place where I disagree with you, oh, the pile-on that ensues. From fanboys who rush to the defense of these people to demonstrate their adoration. So in that way, criticism on Twitter, on Facebook, or on, it's almost good for them because it acts as a fanboy magnet. The critic brings to light how universally adored they actually are, despite this stupid asshole who's anti-science. So then just in the last few days, Tyson releases another video. I want to play it for you.
How did America rise up? A backwoods country to be one of the greatest nations the world has ever known. We pioneered industries. And all of this required the greatest innovations in science and technology in the world. And so science is a fundamental part of the country that we are. But In this, the 21st century, when it comes time to make decisions about science, it seems to me people have lost the ability to judge what is true and what is not. What is reliable, what is not reliable. What should you believe, what should you not believe?
Sweet. So, obviously coming up are some tips on how to do that from a scientist.
And when you have people who don't know much about science standing in denial of it and rising to power, that is a recipe for the complete dismantling of our informed democracy.
Yeah, but didn't Rush already do that? I mean, can't we just have like one consistent storyline here? Sorry, here we go.
Let us demand that educators around America teach evolution.
All right, so now it's Mike Pence, and what concerns me, it's this clip of Mike Pence on the U.S. House floor, and he's going to say something like, let's demand that creationism or be taught or evolution be taught as a theory. Now, there's no way at this point, Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the most innovative thinkers on the left, and I'm not even being sarcastic, is going to return to the same, at this point, 20-year-old trope of we're smart, they're dumb. This is what you're saying to yourself. You have more faith in him than that. This isn't the beaten to death Bill Maher line of there's people who think like me and there's people who are stupid. There's going to be a new twist here. You're hoping. You're hoping I'm not wasting your time with the same old leftist bullshit.
It's fact, but it's theory.
Increasing number of parents showing skepticism about vaccinations.
Voters have approved a ban on GMOs.
They call climate change unproven science.
Well, fuck a duck, right? Did you catch that progression? Because that's an important detail. It's interesting how people get lured in. What is one of the most ridiculous scientific debates happening right now in most people's mind? What is like the most settled thing? It's creation versus evolution. So there's the top of our funnel, right? Everybody's going in. And what do we have next to build a little more trust? Vaccinations. Well, who doesn't believe in vaccinations? Backwoods people who don't want the government injecting stuff into their kids? Great. Continue on down to GMOs. Isn't there still a little bit of a debate about that? Doesn't matter. The gravity of the funnel's got you now, and you've come to the bottom, which is climate change. So, what are you selling, Neil?
That's not the country I remember growing up in. Not that we didn't have challenges. I'm old enough to remember the 60s and the 70s. We've got a hot war and a cold war, civil rights movement, and all of this was going on. But I don't remember any time where people were standing in denial of what science was. One of the great things about science is that it is an entire exercise in finding what is true. You have a hypothesis, you test it, I get a result. A rival of mine double checks it because they think I might be wrong. They perform an even better experiment than I did, and they find out, hey, this experiment matches. Oh my gosh, we're onto something here. And out of this rises a new emergent truth. It does it better than anything else we have ever come up with as human beings. This is science. It's not something to toy with. It's not something to say, I choose not to believe equals MC squared. You don't have that option. When you have an established scientific emergent truth, it is true whether or not you believe in it.
I don't disagree with much of what was said in the last minute. It's a powerful argument for the scientific process, for the scientific method. And if you just take it on face value, it's hard to disagree with that. Now, there's other things that if you are aware of such things, like this recent development where 107 cancer papers were retracted because of a peer review fraud. If you're unfamiliar with this story, I'm just going to read briefly from Ars Technica. The journal Tumor Biology is retracting 107 research papers after discovering that the authors faked the peer review process. This isn't the journal's first rodeo. Last year, 58 papers were retracted from 7 different journals. 25 came from Tumor Biology for the same reason. It's possible to fake peer review because authors are often asked to suggest potential reviewers for their own papers. This is done because research subjects are often blindingly niche. A researcher working in a subfield may be more aware than the journal editor, who is best placed to assess the work. I'll link to this in the show notes. And I'm not saying that this is par for the course. Many people, probably not Neil deGrasse Tyson fans because they've worked to forget it, probably remember the Climatic Research Unit email controversy. This is 6 years old at this point. And because of an email hack, all of these internal conversations from a variety of organizations were exposed, where there was open discussion of manipulating climate data to support existing catastrophic models. But all of that aside, what Tyson is saying here, the argument that he's making, connects much more with me than, you know, any kind of superstitious argument, or I believe this because I want to, or if you've had a conversation where you put down piece of evidence after piece of evidence in an argument against somebody, and they are just so obstinate in continuing to believe what they want to believe for clearly emotional reasons. Like, when it comes to all those situations, I'm on Tyson's side with basically what he's laid out here in the last minute. So I could even argue that as a scientist in this isolated case, he's built some trust. But how will he squander it?
When you have an established scientific emergent truth, it is true whether or not you believe in it. And the sooner you understand that, the faster we can get on with the political conversations about how to solve the problems that face us.
Conversations, great. I love conversations. And I've seen these kinds of conversations on CNN and on Bill Maher, where there's disagreement on the political solution. And of course, in those formats, the disagreeer being showcased is never somebody who is, you know, as scientifically respected as the person who's there to defend the climate change narrative. So these left-wing presentations of the issue, they make use of the old Fox News Hannity and Combs format. If you remember that, you know, liberal versus conservative pitted against each other, you know, for an even Steven political kind of conversation. And the show begins and it's like, hey, I'm Sean Hannity. I'm clearly an alpha male. I've got beautiful hair and I don't need eyeglasses because my vision is perfect. Joining me to take the liberal side is Alan Combs. He's balding. He does need glasses. He's kind of a beta and he's not particularly sure of himself. Let's talk politics, right? The left uses that format too. And the Neil deGrasse Tysons roll their eyes and glance at the audience and chuckle at those who don't see eye to eye on political solutions. So great. I can't wait to hear the conversations. But maybe there's coming suggestions on how to improve the nature of those conversations so they're not faux conversations, right? We want to make sure that people like Tyson aren't saying that a conversation is you sitting there listening to what I say and agreeing with me and then we move on to political solutions that crush people's property rights and self-ownership. Even though, folks, if the science is settled, which the science is settled, right? Before we get to politics, we settle the science. Individual sacrifices will have to be made to conform to the solutions subsequent from settled science. Because what's particularly insidious here, in a couple of minutes ago, I asked the question about trust, right? He's worked from a scientific standpoint to earn our trust. How will he squander it? The better question is, how will he betray it? Because what he presents in this video is this step-by-step process that's perfectly rational, right? First, we do science. Then we do politics. And there is a safe barrier between the two. Politics never bleeds into science. But we know that's not true. We know a lot of scientific research is very politically motivated. And we know that it goes in both directions. We know cigarette companies and oil companies have funded scientific studies, but it takes a pretty damn naive and anti-capitalist, a person who has a pretty non-scientific attitude about government to think that's only a one-way street. When we know, just skimming across the surface of examples cited in this show already, the ClimateGate controversy, for one, it goes both ways. Maybe the conversation is evolving. Let's see.
So once you understand that humans are warming the planet, you can then have a political conversation about that. You can say, well, should we, are there carbon credits? Do we do this? Do we put a tariff on, do we fund, do we subsidize? Those have political answers.
Geez, what happened to the conversation? It sounds like you have a handful of solutions ready to go.
And every minute one is in denial, you are delaying the political solution that should have been established years ago. As a voter, as a citizen, scientific issues will come before you. And isn't it worth it to say, all right, let me at least become scientifically literate so that I can think about these issues and act intelligently upon them? Recognize what science is and allow it to be what it can and should be in the service of civilization. It's in our hands.
Right. Because the people behind this video have full faith in the American public to take time out of their busy lives to become scientifically literate. That's not at all what's being proposed here. What's being proposed here instead is take the word of those who are presented as scientific authorities in pop media. It's that simple. As the credits roll, you see that this 4 minute and 42 seconds presentation is the product of something called Red Glass Pictures. So let's check them out. Ooh, you know how you can sometimes tell exactly how somebody votes by seeing a picture of them? This is one of those situations. So some of the stuff looks fairly apolitical. How to win an election, George W. Bush with a cowboy hat. Women for Change, UN Women, United Nations. Why don't we watch a minute of that? Half of the world's population are women. There's some text on the screen. 70% are victims of violence. Only 20% of lawmakers are women, and they earn up to 30% less than men for the same work. Thanks for coming. That's not fair. I'll let it play another minute.
Even though women are half of humanity, women are suffering from exclusion, from discrimination, and from violence. And that's why UN Women was developed, to trigger progress on gender equality, women's empowerment, and women's rights. It is one of our priorities to ensure an environment that will permit women to live free of violence. Haiti is not different than many other parts of the world in terms that women are disproportionately affected by.
Hashtag Kony2012. You know what? This whole video looks like it's about 8 minutes long, and I don't want to make you sit here while I go through it. What I'm going to test it for, I'm going to pause the recording and test it for, and then I'll give you the conclusion, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of true and, you know, heartbreaking stories about the plight of women around the world. You know, the film starts in Haiti, so it's not like there's going to be a real problem getting me to have some kind of emotional buy-in here. Then if they dare to touch the third rail in international left-wing politics that is the Middle East when it comes to women, I mean, we'll see. I'll watch the video and I'll let you know. But what are the outcomes, right? Because do these short films follow a pattern where they build a kind of momentum to definitely get you, the viewer, on their side, to then simply shove down your throat the standard left-wing solution? I'll be back with the answer.
It is my pleasure to welcome you to the...
5 minutes later, this whole short film that Red Glass Pictures made is a commercial for the UN. Almost everybody interviewed in it is from the UN. I'm at 6:50 on the counter, and I'm looking at a United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development. You remember Sustainable Development, Agenda 21? We talked about this in the show before. A guy named Michael Chapman from an organization called EdWatch was he did these presentations called Public School Dumb and Dumber, and he was kind of following the Charlotte Iserby or Peg Luxick line of the dumbing down of America and why. And he reveals these Agenda 21 documents on education, and it's like something in the 35th chapter of the Agenda 21's charter for UNESCO. And it says something like more education, like smarter people, is more of a threat to sustainable development because they use more resources, and that's a problem. So that's if sustainable development doesn't ring a bell, my point is we've talked about it on the show before. Let's continue.
20 Women's Leaders Summit.
In Rio Plus 20, we had a very important meeting with women, head of state, of head of government, to commit to a future with sustainable development, a future with peace, and a future of a world where women can live free of violence.
Societies where women are free and equal are more successful and more developed. We cannot meet our global challenges without the full participation of half the world's population.
So you see where you can wind up when you let people grab you by the emotions and pull you around. And it's funny that, you know, the video that we're watching before this with Neil deGrasse Tyson is like, are you ready to be a renegade against the unenlightened establishment who doesn't believe in science? These are the people in power who deny all of the truths that we know. It's time to rise up against them. Hey, kids, do you want to be an anti-authoritarian who fucking loves science? Well, this company also makes films that are infomercials for one of the most powerful governance organizations in the entire world. It's neat. I'm just saying this has been a neat experience for me visiting this website. Let's finish this up.
Half of humanity has been discriminated against for almost in all history. And it's about time that we wake up on the need for empowerment of women.
We like to think that if young women succeed, the world will be a better place for everybody, because I believe that women should rule the world, and so they'll be in charge.
There's no place in the world where we have full gender equality. What we've been able to do is to put the women's agenda as a priority.
So I absolutely just watched an 8-minute commercial for the UN's climate agenda masquerading as a short film. And, you know, the women angle is that because of the work the UN does, women are getting a seat at the table in the climate change discussion, which is great news because women have been historically so responsible in controlling the size of government through their voting behavior. That's sarcasm. So anyway, yeah, Neil, we look forward to having the conversation. I'm sure it will be a lively back and forth where lots of, you know, divergent political solutions will be entertained. And while we're busy doing that, once you've got the political conversation going in the right way, you can take your fire hose over to education and start working on that. But you know who makes Neil deGrasse Tyson look good in my eyes? Bill fucking Nye. Holy shit, this guy. Now, we're all in the middle of rejoicing over the sex junk viral YouTube video. This is a real victory for those of us who have been skeptical of the social justice movement, of identity politics, of and if the people who are advocating for, you know, like awareness around gender, transgender issues have any self-awareness at all, they have to be absolutely furious that this was given a platform, this video, because it is more damning than we could ever ask any parody to be. Now, when I saw this video, because people were sending it to me and I think somebody posted it in the group, I said, what is this even a part of? You know, Bill Nye has a show. And that led to an investigation that made me really upset to discover that Bill Nye does have a show on Netflix. We're going to get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk a little bit about this viral video itself. So the person who did this video, Rachel Bloom, is a comedian. And as I'm watching it, I'm saying to myself, okay, what's really going on here? Because the easy answer, the low-hanging fruit, is to say, this is, they think this is good. But maybe that's not what's really going on here, right? Because this is so bad. Because it's hard to believe that any adult, you know, put something like this together, not intended as parody, and watched the finished product and said, I think we nailed it, guys. It's one of the worst things you'll ever see. And then I started to think, okay, well, maybe these people are a little more clever than we're giving them credit for. And maybe this is supposed to be bad. Maybe this is like the whole Pepsi commercial theory. And maybe it's part of actually like a larger strategy where the first step is to do something that's so shocking and terrible that people have to talk about it. Maybe it wasn't made with the intention that anybody would think it was good. Now, I think Bill Nye does think that because he's been made so stupid and so weak and so lazy intellectually by the Neil deGrasse Tyson problem. Bill Nye, the science guy, is just where even still people are like, oh, Bill Nye was great when I was a kid. You should know that I remember I was about 12 years old and there was a show on Comedy Central. It was like right when we got cable and it was called Almost Live. And it was this sketch comedy show in Seattle. And Bill Nye was one of the cast members on that show. And the science guy started as a weak skit. He would come up on stage and he would do these what seemed to be intentionally underwhelming scientific demonstrations. I'll link to one of these videos in the show notes. It's just boring and totally anticlimactic. And I start to wonder, just when I see how inept Bill Nye is at even being an entertainer, never mind a scientist. He's not a scientist. He has no scientific background. He was an electrical engineer and he worked in aerospace in some capacity. His fame has nothing to do with aptitude for thinking scientifically or being an entertainer. It's because he's willing to be worn as a finger puppet, like Neil deGrasse Tyson is, towards a certain political agenda. And this new show that I've been leading up to, it's called Bill Nye Saves the World. But that is the fall. It's having no integrity and just being a useful stooge for whatever the left's agenda is, right? It was all fine. Like, put Bill Nye on television again and again and just watch him eat shit in climate science debates. The best example is Bill Nye versus Mark Morano. We've used it on the show before. He has no idea what he's talking about. He is the token science guy who will do the bidding of the left no matter what stage of, you know, political or social justice insanity they want to go to. That is what has been demonstrated in the last week. And I predict this will be the end of Bill Nye. Because when you Google Bill Nye, quote, sex junk, you're not getting Slate articles. You're not getting Salon articles. You're not getting Huffington Post articles. There is silence. On the first page of results, there is nothing positive from any left wing. The Independent, which I don't think is a conservative newspaper. Bill Nye saves the world, jumps the shark with cringeworthy my sex junk. Age of Shitlords. That is certainly not a left wing website. So full silence from the left. If I'm wrong, if I'm missing something, please let me know. If this video is being praised anywhere, send me the link. But yeah, the fall of Bill Nye is, you really should watch this video and you should watch the parts of him dancing a couple of times. You should really, really take it in because I think there's a really valuable lesson. It scared me. It scared me. It was like one of those, but for the grace of God, go I moments. How could my life have turned out differently where I could have been the guy dancing to that song? I can't pretend to know how Bill Nye's life, how Bill Nye's traumas, how Bill Nye's insecurities led him up to the moment that we saw earlier this week. I can't really speculate about that. I mean, I've speculated enough just by saying that I think those things are present. But God, it makes me ask the question in a moment where you just want to make fun of somebody. And, you know, that's part of the appeal of all of this stuff that I've realized. You know, I talked about this with Tom Woods. We talked about it in the Empathon series. I've talked about it with students. Part of the appeal here is that focusing on the left, stuff like sex junk, social justice, you get to feel superior. It's kind of like what the left gets by focusing on the evangelicals, the religious right. You get to feel superior without doing anything, right? You just get to, you point your finger and you say, that's the opposite of me, and you immediately feel better. But I don't know what it was about. There's just a moment where Bill Nye goes over to the mixer and then does a little dance. And I cringed so hard I peed a little bit. And I said, how could my life have turned out like that? You know, if I had never encountered so many of the things that we've talked about on this show, you know, the six pillars comes to mind, the work of Nathaniel Brandon. Just to, in a very, very small nutshell, reason, purpose, self-esteem. What kind of dignity would I be willing to trade for approval? Even scarier, what kind of dignity in the past have I traded for approval? But what is said about a person in a video like this? You know, the way I interpret Bill Nye's mindset is there are no limits to the way you can use me. There is no violation to my integrity that is too great if I get to be presented as a man who is saving the world. And I think that trade-off really backfired for him this week. And this is one of the best examples I've ever seen of politics being downstream from culture. You know, Bill Nye is the perfect kind of finger puppet. And he kind of hints at this in the introduction to this new Netflix show. You know, you loved me when you were a kid. You watched me as a child. I made a connection with you. We have a relationship. I'm the science guy. But now you're adults. And it's time for you to get politically active. So I'm back to push your weak, schooled minds towards accepting the desired outcomes of those who move me around with their hand up my ass. And poor Bill Nye is but just one example of this phenomenon. So keep your eyes open, and I hope you're not afraid to point these things out when you see them. Thanks for listening.
Do you think that we're doing ourselves a disservice by not teaching people how the mind works, how confirmation bias
completely works?
And shouldn't that
we're
be a big
we're teaching the wrong
part?
Things in school. I'm working on
yeah.
this.
What
in
are
a
you
few
years,
no, in a few years, I'm going to have something.
Why now? What
no, because I'm busy.
My kids are in school right now.
I'm busy. Excuse me. I can't be. I can't.
I understand. But, I mean, let's discuss it because I think it took me a
the
long time.
The curriculum has to include an entire course on cognitive bias.
Yes.
If we are going to emerge as adults no longer susceptible to charlatans.
Yes.
Okay? Who are either well-meaning and just misguided or who are explicitly exploiting your ignorance.
Tara.
You know, we as non-scientists, we're like, we want to make a change. We want to take action. What are the first simple steps that we can do to get to this future? Like, who are we are we talking to our congressmen? Are we just making changes at home? What can we as non-scientists, as non-brilliant engineers do? Because we do want this future, but we don't know how to go there, and we don't want to get rid of our car right away, like, yeah. trying to be a realist.
Here. Vote!
Yes.
if you don't want to vote, would you just shut up?
Hey, y'all, before I let you go today, just a quick reminder. I'm currently on Podomatic.com. That's where I host the podcast. By the way, we currently hold the number one spot in education and the number 26 spot overall on the whole site. Tens of thousands of podcasts. And remember, this is just Podomatic. We are not the number one education show. But still, hooray, it helps more people find the show. That's, you know, the front page for all shows and definitely the top spot for education, good exposure. Why am I here? Why am I creepily staring at a map of where my downloads come from? Well, you heard in the last audio that we are putting on an event August 5th and 6th, or 4th, 5th, and 6th, for those who buy VIP tickets, in Salem, Massachusetts. So I'm just looking at that region, and I see that we have well over 500 people just in Boston. And this is downloads this week. So if you want to go to this event, I really, really suggest that you act now. Thad did an interview with Tom Woods yesterday. That's going to be out today. That's going to be tens of thousands of listens. I know Tom has a lot of people in this area as well with the whole Free State Project thing. And tomorrow, Thad is going to be on Joe Rogan. That is millions of years worldwide, definitely thousands and thousands just in a drivable distance from Salem, Massachusetts alone. So the window of time is closing. And like I said in the last audio, I really want a lot of those seats filled with our people. And that's you. So please go to ThaddeusRussell.com/courses/weekend and get your tickets. Thanks.